Our scripture this morning is from the New Testament, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. And that's found on page 115 in your pew Bible. When it was evening that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples again were in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to him.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. So many readings of this, and most often we give Thomas a little bit of a bad rap. We call him Doubting Thomas. And throughout history, as long as that scripture has been read, people come away with that thought. Wesley had a thought. Thomas is often referred to as Doubting Thomas, a more absent Thomas. Because if you hadn't been there and that occurred, wouldn't you have said, wouldn't you have not believed until you could see, to touch, to hear, to feel? If Thomas had been present on the earlier occasion when Jesus appeared to the disciples, he would never have made his original statement a vigorous denial. We don't know why Thomas was absent. He may have been good and justified reason, but we know that each and every one of the disciples, with exception of one, John, fled. Some even denied Jesus. Peter. But whatever the reason, it was his absence that caused him to suffer a long week. Imagine that week. His friends are telling him, "We saw the Lord." Mary is telling him, "We saw the Lord." Cleopas and the other who was on the road to Emmaus tell him, "We saw the Lord." And he's like, oh, if I'd only been there, if I'd only been there, I would believe too. Maybe. The best and surest place to maintain faith is in the company of fellow believers. See, he was not with the group that night. And one of the key elements in this thing, Jesus, three words that come to us in this scripture passage. And the first one is peace. And that's the peace that Jesus gives them. Now, we have the reading in John 20:19. He says, "Peace be with you." And this is much like the first mention of the word peace in the Hebrew and Aramaic, shalom. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. We hear that in John chapter 14, verse 27. And most of you, if you've been to the memorial service or a funeral service of a loved one, you've heard this. Let not your heart be troubled, as it starts in John chapter 14. Well, Jesus is speaking then to these disciples who had fled, who were quivering in fear. All right, I'm reading some of that in there. But if they're in this room and the doors are shut, and it says here they're locked, but the translation, actually, they didn't have a word for locked, but it's closed. And imagine that they're fearing the agents of the Sanhedrin and the rulers of Jerusalem, the church, to come and prosecute them, just as they had done Jesus, their master. He walks in, and we don't know how he comes in. He's just there. It doesn't say the doors fly open. It doesn't say that he just walks through the door. It just says Jesus came and stood among them. That was enough. I mean, he didn't need a pyrotechnic display. He didn't need a fanfare of trumpets. He says, "Peace be with you." And can you imagine the fear, the worry, the anxiety in each and every one of those that's in the room? Now, it says in the reading in Luke, the chapters assigned, Jesus visits the 10. Well, Cleopas could have been there, the men from the road on Emmaus. Mary certainly could have been there. So there could have been more there. But we know there were at least 10 of those 12 disciples. We know Judas has probably, in despair, killed himself. And we know Thomas is not there. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Now notice, they didn't ask, but he knew what was on their minds. It's like this fear and anguish. Are they seeing an apparition? Are they seeing some kind of ghost appear? And he's dissuading that thought. And he does that by coming in and saying, "Peace be with you," and then here. He shows them his hands and his sides. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus says again to them, "Peace be with you." And then, since Jesus never leaves you like he finds you, ever, he says to them, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me," this is verse 21, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, so I send you." See, he chose those friends. He chose those apostles. He chose those disciples not because they were great and powerful orators. I mean, he picks a fisherman, Peter. He's a big guy, got a big voice. Okay, boisterous, but not educated. And he chooses him to have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. "And on this rock-like faith, I will found my kingdom." And he says to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." This was Jesus' purpose in being. When we read in John chapter 6, verse 35 and on, Jesus responds to people who are wanting him to feed them. He says, "I come not to do my will, but I come to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is those that are given me by the Father will not be lost, but I'll raise them up." And now he's commissioning those in the room. He's saying, "Me, I send you." So he's When he had said this, he breathed on them and then said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, the Greek words for that, ruach, breath, pneuma, wind, air. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9, we're looking at the dry bones. And he says, breathe life into these dry bones. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, after he's made Adam from the clay of the earth, he breathes the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam and gives life to earth, man, Adam and Eve in that way. Because as he commissions them, sends them, he empowers them. He gives them and equips them with the tools that they need. He gives them the Holy Spirit, that comforter, that counselor, that advocate. And we know that in Acts, as Pentecost is there, Peter delivers their gathered together and the Holy Spirit descends on them and tongues of flame on each of them. And then Peter preached a wonderful, wonderful sermon that wins at least 5,000 to believe in Christ Jesus. The Word is powerful. Last week I was talking and I kind of drug a little bit too far, but I wanted to close the loop on that. When Jesus turned to Mary and said, "Mary," she thought him a gardener before. She didn't even recognize him. She's been weeping outside that tomb. And she thinks he's a gardener and asks him, "You know, where have you taken my Lord, my master? And tell me where he is and I'll go and..." He says, "Mary." But Jesus has a way of speaking. Must be the Word. You know, John chapter 1, at the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And nothing was created without Him, that Word of God. And Jesus, the Word of God, took on flesh to dwell among us. Why? To do exactly this. So He commissions them, and He says, "If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven you, forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." He commissions and empowers them, gives them a mission to do. Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them. The other disciples tell him, and he says, they say, "We've seen the Lord." And he says, "Unless..." Okay, now think about this. Don't be throwing stones at doubting Thomas, because had you not been there, had we not had all of the scriptures, might be difficult for us to believe, too. "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." It's almost like this petulant child. "I'm not going." You know, a medicine that's going to make him feel better. No child is going to take that with you. It better be something that's tasty. "I'm not taking it." Thomas was doubting, very earthly, very real, because they know that nobody's done this before. This has never been done before. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Again, no fanfare. The doors aren't bursting open. Jesus comes and is with them. "Peace be with you." And can you imagine Thomas in that group? His jaw is already on the ground. It's like awe, wonder, fear, maybe. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." So Jesus says, "Peace be with you." He says, "As the Creator God has sent me, so I send you." He's breathed the Holy Spirit on him. And now here's Thomas. Jesus has appeared and done the same thing that he did with the other disciples. Didn't change it. And he says, do not doubt but believe. Believe not in the sense that, oh, you know, intellectually I can understand this and, yeah, I can believe that. Even the demons believed that Christ was the Christ, that Jesus was the Christ and the Messiah. They obeyed him. Jesus wants us to have that faith that's described in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the faith which is the hope for things not yet seen. Even though they've not seen that Christ, even though they didn't know and understand how Christ could come from that grave and be again with them, he says, have faith, believe, believe. Because if we believe something strongly enough, we're willing to act on it. It sustains us in times of trouble. It sustains us when things of the world are indicating to us that things are not going to be good for us, that things are not going well. That's that faith, that hope for things not yet seen. Jesus makes promises to us. God, the Creator, makes promises to us in the Scriptures. And we, in order for us to continue to serve, to continue to live tough lives in difficult times, we have to have something that we can draw on, something that we can come back on. And that's why when Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit is what's going to kindle in you a faith and rekindle it when it dims because the world is crushing you. World circumstances, whether it's health or poverty or sickness or hunger, any of those worldly things that everybody encounters at some time or another. Think of how Thomas responds to this. And I read this, and it's the Scripture doesn't tell us this, but I can just imagine that as Jesus comes into the room and he says to Thomas, peace. And he walks up to Thomas and he says, here, touch my, see the nail marks in my hand. See, put your hand in my side. I can just imagine that Thomas has fallen to his knees and is looking at his Lord and Savior, and it's like, my Lord and my God. See, the Scriptures are not just something that we read that are unemotional or that are just some intellectual description of something that happens. The Scriptures that we read are from people who were affected by what they saw, what they heard, how they were commissioned, the life that they lived. You don't think the first century Christian church was persecuted? The second century church, the third century church. Right now, all you have to do is turn the news on, pick up a newspaper, hit an internet webpage, and you're seeing all of this death and destruction and persecution of Christians around the globe. Even here in the United States, they're persecuted because of a Christian belief. And yet, Christianity has survived. Why? Because they have hope. Because they have faith. They have hope and faith in someone who's greater than anything in this created order. Because as they believe and confess with their lips and believe in their hearts, Romans 10, that Jesus is Lord, they are saved. So, peace, the peace that Jesus gives them, he sends them, tells them, this is your mission. As God the Father sent me, so I send you. And then he breathes on them and empowers them, gives them the Holy Spirit, and then entrusts them, as he does Thomas, with an encouragement, not a criticism, but an encouragement to believe. He says, you see because you believe. How great for those that believe not seeing. Ah, have faith. Have faith. But most importantly of all, that gift that Jesus gave them in the upper room was the Holy Spirit. That breath of God. that faith that will allow them to do what Jesus has sent them to do. Peace. Go. Believe. We should not leave here today like we came in. He should change us. Shalom.